8:20 is our time. Very chilly, 31 degrees currently. We're joined by Herschel Finch, Conservation Chairman of the Warren County Chapter of the Isaac Walton League, and also Scott. And Scott, I'm having trouble with you.
Kovarovic.
Great, got it. Okay. And he is director of Isaac Walton League of America, executive director. And good morning to both of you. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
I understand that the there's a very important vote coming up about the Clean Water Act. Can you, first of all, give us some background on the Clean Water Act and then where it stands currently and what you hope to happen?
Well, I can do that. This is Scott Kovarovic. I appreciate that. And I'm the executive director of the Isaac Walton League of America. I think the most important thing here is focusing on something known as the Clean Water Rule, which is about restoring basic historic protections of the Clean Water Act to small streams and wetlands across the country, including across Virginia. This is something that the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA have put back in place here late in the summer. And there's ongoing efforts by some in the Congress to repeal the rule. And our organization and sportsmen across the country have been working hard in support of it, restoring these protections, which are critical to fishing we enjoy in Virginia and duck hunting all across America, clean water for one in three Americans. And we may see votes here in the next couple weeks as Congress works on a year-end government spending bill that would prevent the Army Corps and the EPA from spending any money to implement the rule. And that's policy and votes that we at the League strongly oppose.
Now, Herschel, what sort of streams are included in this? You mentioned some headwaters. There are lots of those in Virginia, especially in our area.
Right, that's for sure. Virtually every stream that flows into Shenandoah is a headwater stream. And some of it flows through public property, and a lot, but most of it flows through private property. And what this new clean water rule will do is protect those small streams that feed into our local waters, which is the Shenandoah River. It does not make any new rules. It does not bring in any kind of new types of water. The Clean Water Act is still enforced. It still protects surface water for the most part. It does not bring underground water into play. Subsurface waters are not there. Your farm ponds are not there. The ditch that is dry most of the year in front of along a road is not included. But what it will do is it helps protect these small streams, because you can fix everything you want to fix in the main river, but if you're not fixing what's going on up in these small streams, then it's pretty much for naught. You're just going to have to come back and do it all again.
Mm. And we're protecting from what specifically? How does this impact us?
Well, we've got a number of problems. For one thing, we've got a lot of runoff from agricultural activity. We've got various sundry chemical plants that are here in the valley. They can also contaminate small streams and whatnot. We've got a lot of closed mines, believe it or not, that are leaching water in places. Mm-hmm. And the population in the Shenandoah Valley is exploding. I mean, our development is going crazy all around us, and it seems like every time I go. Go anywhere, I notice a new subdivision being built or some new access roads coming in. And all of this activity contributes to runoff.
So this act would mean that if you're putting in some sort of construction project or if you've got an agricultural operation, you have to make sure that you do not impact these small streams and you'd have to divert the water to someplace else or put up barricades and so forth. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's basically it just ensures that best practices that have always been required are done. The most visible sign of that is the black sediment curtains if you see around construction sites. Basically, that catches runoff and keeps it out of the streams. But there's other things that need to be done too.
Scott, historically, this was in place, and then what happened in Congress to sort of unsettle it?
Right, exactly. So for 30 years, from like 1972 to about 2001, the Clean Water Act protected these headwater streams and small wetlands. In 2001, the Supreme Court heard a case of dealing with the Army Corps and permitting wetland conservation, in which it decided that the Supreme Court ruled that the Army Corps couldn't protect ponds simply because they were used by migratory waterfowl. There had to be other grounds. And that was the start of a series of two Supreme Court decisions, which really sowed a lot of confusion. They didn't reach any substantive, clear decisions about what the Clean Water Act covered. And the efforts by the Army Corps and EPA here to devise a new clean water rule really come directly from the Supreme Court saying, okay, guys, you need clearer regulations about what's covered by the law and what isn't. And that's fundamentally what this Clean Water Rule does. It makes clear these are the types of waters that are protected by the Clean Water Act, and most of the and all of those have been protected historically. And the rule goes further than ever before to say, in regulation, these are the types of waters that are not covered. And Herschel mentioned some of them already, from prior converted cropland to waste treatment systems to ornamental waters, and to a wide range of ditches, for example, that aren't excavated in streams and don't carry water all year long. So really, what the Army Corps and the EPA have done is provide more clarity, and particularly about what's covered and what's not.
That sounds like clarity is always a good thing. Now, the Isaac Walton League is very interested in the recreational use of these areas, hunting and fishing. Can you tell us about the impact of not enforcing this?
Well, I think the impact with respect to when you look at the value of outdoor recreation in Virginia alone, for example, fishing alone, fishermen, anglers, and spend more than $1 billion annually in the state. That's just on trips, on equipment, going to, you know, local grocery stores, hotels, you know, guides and things like that. You know, another almost $900 million is spent on hunting annually. Outdoor recreation overall in the state, when you look at fishing and hunting, boating, wildlife watching, a number of other things, it's nearly $14 billion in consumer spending annually, according to the Outdoor Industry Association. So when you look at this, this is about not only the outdoor traditions that tens of thousands of Virginians enjoy. This is about the outdoor recreation economy that is critically important to the state. And that's at risk as much as the pastimes that so many people enjoy, whether it's fishing or hunting or simply, you know, being able to go sit by, you know, a clean stream and enjoy a day outside.
And of course, the public drinking water aspect of it. I know in our area, most of the water we get is surface water.
Exactly. Here in the valley, we don't have any giant reservoirs that we're drawing water from. Most of our water, especially in the small towns up and down the valley, get their water from the Shenandoah River. And we need that water to be as clean as it possibly can. Otherwise, we're having to spend money, pour money into our water treatment plants, which essentially ends up being a tax on the local people. There's only so much money to go around in these small towns, and if you're spending millions in, upgrading water treatment plants, that's millions that you're not being able to use in your schools, in your police departments, in your fire departments, and other services.
Very quickly, how can people weigh in on this?
Well, I think one of the easiest things they can do now in the near term is to let Senators Kaine and Warner know that people across the state of Virginia support the rule, support protecting these water resources. Both of those senators have been standing with sportsmen to oppose damaging bills and amendments in the United States Senate that would turn back the Clean Water Rule. If they want to learn more, they're more than happy to come to our website, iwla.org. There's a lot of information there about the rule, what it does, and how to get involved. But I think, you know, Senators Kaine and Warner have stood strongly with sportsmen to protect clean water. and folks could, you know, contact them and say thank you, and encourage them to continue to do that as we get critical votes coming up in the Congress here over the next few weeks.
Yes, the other thing I would recommend is check and see if you've got a localized Walton League chapter, and join those folks. We do an awful lot of letter writing and advocacy for clean water, and I would also encourage you to find out who your local river keeper is. And down there in Roanoke on the James River, it's Pat Calvert, and join his organization. And, you know, they'll put you to work and tell you what you need to be doing. And, you know, every person's efforts make a difference.
Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you very, very much, both of you, for being with us. I appreciate having you on the program this morning.
Thank you, Bob.